Vosotros, papás y mamás, podréis seguir tranquilamente con vuestras obligaciones en esa semana sin cole. Horario de 9 de la mañana a 5 de la tarde con posibilidad de ampliación. Comenzamos la última semana de junio y podrás reservar las semanas que necesites hasta final de julio. Los Urban Camps tendrán lugar en diferentes colegios de la Comunidad de Madrid. Así podrás escoger el que mejor te venga. ¿A qué esperas? Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupoabaugan.com e infórmate de todas las opciones que te ofrecemos. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupoabaugan.com. Los Urban Camps de Baugan.
Son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello, good morning, good morning. It's Tuesday. Welcome to Tuesday's edition of Richard Vaughan Live. Are you ready? I like Tuesday. Tuesday is the cruelest day. I always say this. El día más cruel. Tuesday is the cruelest day. It's because we are already tired after working on Monday and Friday is still far away. So far away. There's a song by Carole King called So Far Away. Tan lejos, tan alejado. Lyrics so far away. Yes. So far away. Carole King. All right, here we are. Carole King, so far away. Doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine if to see your face at my door. Doesn't help to know you're just time away. Carole King, most people in Spain don't know who Carole King was or is. I think she's still alive, Carole King. She must be 80 years old now, or even older, maybe 85. Carole. Escrito Carole King, como rey. Carole King, she was born in 1942. Outstanding songwriter, one of the best pop songwriters in the history of pop music. Carole King. Yes. And she was a songwriter only starting around 1958, 1959. She was born in 1942, and when she was a teenager, maybe 17 years old, she wrote songs that reached very, very high on the charts, sometimes number one, in the early 1960s, late 1950s. And at the end of the decade of the 1960s, she decided to start singing herself, and she was extremely successful. One of the most successful albums in the history of pop music is called Tapestry. Tapiceria. Tapestry. I don't know. The 100 highest selling albums of all time. The 100 best selling albums of all time. Let's see if maybe Tapestry would be among them. And people here in Spain are not familiar with this woman. Let's see if I can find it. The best-selling albums of all time. All right. Well, the Eagles. Their greatest hits. Yes. Let me see if I can find Tapestry. Let's see. I can't find it. But it should be here somewhere. I'm looking and looking. Maybe this is rock. I'm talking about pop music. Nope, I can't find it. Tapestry. Maybe I put Tapestry. Ranking of albums. Tapestry. Let's see. Tapestry was ranked number 36 on Rolling Stone list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. Number 36. All right. And so it's number 36 in history. Tapestry. According to Rolling Stone, the Rolling Stone magazine. All right, So Far Away is one of the songs from that album. So far away, doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine to see your face at my door. Doesn't help to know you're just time away. It's a sad song. You're so far away. Tan lejos, tan alejado. You're so far away, but I'm not far away. I'm here to teach you English, and you're here to learn. It's Tuesday, but Friday is so far away. Friday is so far away. And that's why. That's why, that's why. Es por eso, por lo que. That's why, that's why. Tuesday is a cruel day. But we have no choice but to live 52 Tuesdays per year. And so let's get going. Vas a tener un infarto a este paso, Richard. You're going to have a heart attack at this rate. What do you mean? I mean, how old are you and you're still teaching English? Come on. It's time to take it easy, retire. Go out to pasture. Come on. You're going to have a heart attack. You are going to have a heart attack at this rate. Es que tu rate. A este paso es at this rate. You're going to have a heart attack. You're gonna. Un nativo diría you're gonna. You're gonna have. You're gonna. You're gonna. You're gonna have. Tú no. Tienes que decir you're going to have a heart attack at this rate. Necesitas pensar en otra cosa. You need to think about something else. Stop thinking about those problems. There's nothing you can do about those problems. There's nothing you can do to solve that problem. But I'm terribly worried. What are you worried about? Global warming. I'm losing sleep. Yeah. Because soon the sea levels will be very high and they will cover Valencia, Motril, Malaga, Algeciras be underwater. Maybe so, but there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. So, necesitas pensar en otra cosa. You need to think about something else. Don't think about these horrible future scenarios that you read about in the newspaper or hear on television. You know, that they predict this young girl from Sweden who comes down and tells us that we are all going to die soon because of climate change. Maybe so. But there's nothing you can do about it. I would say recycle your waste products. Yes, fine. Don't use a car. Don't fly anywhere. Because then you are indirectly contributing. If you buy a ticket to fly from Madrid to Paris, well, you are contributing to global pollution and to global warming. So you can do your little, and as you say in Spanish, granito de arena, your little grain of sand. But don't worry about it, because there's nothing you can do about it. You need to think about something else. Otra cosa is something else. Otra persona is someone else or somebody else. Nada más is nothing else. Someone else, nothing else, anything, algo más, ¿quieres algo más? Anything else? Nothing else, thank you, nothing else. Someone else, yes, anywhere else. Cualquier otro, cualquier sitio, a mí me da igual. Anywhere else, pero no aquí, cualquier sitio menos aquí. Anywhere else except here. All right, something else, someone else, somewhere else. Algún otro sitio, no aquí, somewhere else. Anywhere else. All right. Alguien está leyendo mi correspondencia. Somebody's been reading my mail. Somebody has been reading my mail. Tienes una manera extraña de mirar a la gente. You have a strange way of looking at people. You make them nervous. You make them nervous. Nervous. Envious. Jealous. nervous. You make them nervous. Yeah. In Spanish, les pones nervioso. Nerviosos. In English, hacer. Les haces nerviosos. You make them nervous. So, yeah, you have a strange way of looking at people that unnerves them. That does what? It unnerves them. What does that mean? To unnerve? I don't know. Well, yes, I know, but I don't know. Unnerve. To say in English, in Spanish, excuse me, I don't know. To unnerve, perturbar, desconcertar, poner nervioso. You give them the creeps, all right? Yes, repelús, escalofríos, un juju. Me da cosa. Expression dar cosa. I've never heard that expression. Me da cosa. Yeah. Gives me the creeps. Curioso. I didn't know this expression. Causar miedo. A Juan le da cosa dormir con la luz apagada. All right. Sleeping with the light off gives John the creeps. No, I wouldn't say the creeps. That's that le da repelús. Meaning the creeps. A creepy place. Creepy. Creepy crawlers. Creeps. It gives me the creeps without repelús. But nevertheless, yes, you have a strange way of looking at people. Yes. Well, I can't help it. What do you mean you can't help? I can't help it. No lo puedes ayudar. Eso es que significa. No, no lo puedo evitar. It means I can't help it. That's the way I look at people. I can't change. Well, of course you can. I've been looking at people like that all my life. If I make them nervous, it's not my problem. It's theirs. Okay. Le conozco. Oh, really? Yeah, I know him. Do you know him? Who? Yeah, I know Pedro. You know him? Yeah. How long have you known him? Well, I've known him for more than 20 years. I've known him for over 20 years. I've known him for over 20 years. I've known him for more than 20 years. More than, more than. You know, the tachi vibrada de than. Cuesta a los hispanohablantes un horror es decirlo. Existe la expresión. Existe el sonido fonético en español, pero es la de suave. Lo he dicho muchas veces. Ada, Badajoz, Madrid, the. You know, I remember one person many years ago who had a radio show on Vaughan Radio. And the name of the radio show was Más que Palabras. Más que Palabras. And she said, more than words. More than words. And I, after about 2 months, I said, excuse me, but listen, it's not more than words. It's more than. More than words is más Daniel palabras. Dan. Dan. More than words. Dan is a nickname for Daniel. Hi, Dan. Yeah, Dan. Famous people by the name of Dan. What famous people do we know by the name of Dan? Famous people by the name of Dan. Let's see. Let's find some famous people. Daniel, Dan, well, solo se llama Daniel. Ah, Dan Aykroyd. Danny Glover. Dan Marino, football player. Danny Trejo, an actor. Danny DeVito, Daniel Day-Lewis, Daniel Craig. Craig, you know, James Bond. But I want somebody whose name, they call him Dan. Dan. All right, Chief Dan George. I can't find many. Dan Quayle, he was the vice president under George Bush father. Dan Edaya, an actor. Dan Blocker, ooh, a fantastic actor. Dan. So more than words is más Daniel palabras. And so I told her, I said, it's not more than words, it's more than. More than. And she could never master it. She could never master it. She said, more than. More than words. More than words. More than words. No podía activar las cuerdas vocales con el sonido de TH. More than. More than. More than. More than. When it is more, tus cuerdas vocales están activadas. More, more. y entras en el ceceo como si fuera una zeta española. More than, more Zaragoza, Zarzuela, Zaragoza, more than, zozobra, zozobra, zozobrar, zozobrar, more zozo, more than, more than, more than, more than. You have to practice it. If you practice a little bit, it's not difficult. More than words. Más que palabras, more than words. All right. I've known him for more than 20 years. I've known him for more than 20 years. Le conozco desde hace más de 20 años. I've known him for over 20 years. Siempre has parecido un hombre tan pacífico. You've always seemed like such a peaceful man. What happened? Suddenly you're becoming very irritable. You're starting to shout at people. You're losing your temper every day. What's the matter? Is everything okay? Is something wrong? Is anything wrong? Is anything wrong? Es una pregunta directa. Is something wrong? Es una pregunta asumiendo que sí. Por eso se dice something. Se asume lo afirmativo. Is something wrong? Is something wrong? Wrong aquí no es equivocado. Wrong es algo raro que te pasa. Is something wrong? Are you okay? You've always seemed like such a peaceful man. That is true about one person I know. A person I worked with for, 25 years. But he was self-employed, autónomo, and so we never worked together, but we worked with each other, but not physically in the same place. And he was very independent, going from one company to another, teaching. And then I suggested he come inside and start working under a labor contract. And the problem started. And I realized that he was not the type of person I thought, because I saw him maybe once every 2 months. But he's a very good worker, very, very intelligent man. But once you have to work with a person on a daily basis, physically present, well, then you realize. And he couldn't adapt well to an office atmosphere, expectations and things. He was extremely independent. That's one of the problems with labor legislation in Spain, because some people want to be autonomous. They want to be. They don't want to work under a labor contract in which you have to work 11 months, one month of vacation. You have to complete a schedule and things. There are a lot of people who want to stay independent, but sometimes they'll work full-time for somebody, but in an independent way. And the labor courts will not allow that in Spain. And it's a mistake. The labor legislation in Spain is extremely counterproductive. Totally counterproductive. It's 180% wrong. 180 degrees wrong. The labor legislation. But it's strangely an inheritance from Franco. The labor legislation in Spain is simply the Franco labor legislation. Francisco Franco was a paternalistic dictator. And Spain likes that. Spain likes paternalism. They're very conservative people. They vote socialist, but they're very conservative in their ways. And so the paternalistic system under Franco was comfortable. And it continued during the transition and during the subsequent governments up to today. The labor legislation is a faithful reflection of José Antonio Girón and the labor climate in the 50s, 60s, early 70s. But with modifications, I imagine, but the basic thrust is the same. The basic thrust means the basic approach. is the same. Protection, overprotection, in that that creates a sclerotic type of labor market, esclerosis laboral. And so many, many people, many entrepreneurs and business people don't want to hire. They don't want to. And so they find ways to do it, with, to work without hiring as few people as possible. But in any case, that's the labor legislation. The day Spain changes its labor legislation will be the day that Spain explodes in a boom, economic boom. But in any case, that's life. You have to live with it and take it in stride. All right, let's go on. Let's see, where am I? Prefiero no hablar con él. I prefer not to talk to him. To be or not to be. To talk or not to talk. To go or not to go. The negative of the infinitive. I prefer to go. I prefer not to go. I prefer to see, talk to him. I prefer not to talk to him. To talk, not to talk. I prefer to do it. I prefer not to do it. I would rather not talk to him. I would really prefer not to. Yes, Bartleby the scrivener. Bartleby el escribidor. Bartleby el escribiente. Así se llamaba. I always laugh when I think about this book. It's incredible. This is the best story by the best publication by Herman Melville, the man who wrote Moby Dick. But it's very strange. A scrivener, los escribientes. Of course, this takes place in the 19th century. And in the 19th century, they didn't have photocopy machines, okay? And so, in a law office, in a bufete, they had to have scriveners who were writing the documents and copying the documents. And these people had to have excellent calligraphy, excellent handwriting. In English, we usually don't use the word calligraphy, calligrafía. We use the word handwriting. And the narrator of the story is an elderly lawyer who works with legal documents and has an office on Wall Street in New York City, in Manhattan. An elderly lawyer means un abogado entrado en años, elderly, bastante mayor. And he has two scriveners. One is named Turkey, Pavo, and the other is Nippers. Turkey and Nippers. And their job is to copy legal documents by hand. Now, business increases, and so he needs a third scrivener. And he hires Bartleby. All right. Now, the other two scriveners don't get along very well. And Bartleby is a very calm person. And so the lawyer thinks, well, Bartleby will help make things calm and nice and tranquil in the office. So Bartleby starts working, and he's very good. He produces a large volume of high quality work. But one day, when the lawyer asked Bartleby to help proofread a document, Bartleby answers, I would prefer not to. So the lawyer says, excuse me, Bartleby, can you help me with this? Can you proofread this document? Bartleby's job is not to proofread. Proofread is revisar documentos, leyéndolos. His job is escribiente. He writes. He copies documents. However, the lawyer asks him, excuse me, Bartleby, can you help me proofread this document? And he answers, I would prefer not to. And nothing else. I would prefer, preferiría no, que no. I would prefer not to. And to the narrator is a bit surprised and irritated. And, but nothing, okay, fine. But a few days later, he asked, excuse me, Barnaby, could you open the window? And he says, I would prefer not to. Anything the boss asks him, the lawyer asks him to do, that is not simply the job of a scrivener, he says, I would prefer not to. And the lawyer begins to go a little bit crazy. This is strange. And Bartleby as well. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story because it's I don't want to be a spoiler. Bartleby el escribiente. All right. Un cuento del escritor saliente Herman Melville. Ha sido considerado una de sus mejores obras. And I agree. Strange. But a little bit funny. I always smile when I think about Bartleby. Bartleby. But I'm running out of time. I have less than half a minute on this first half hour of today's Tuesday edition of Richard Vaughn Live. I'm having a good time, despite the fact that it's Tuesday. In spite of the fact that it's Tuesday, I'm enjoying myself. I'm having fun. I'm having a good time, but I'm going to take a short break. But I promise, I'll be right back.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Baugan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años, en grupos de aproximadamente 10 niños por monitor. Fechas, tienes para elegir, del 18 al 24 de julio o del 25 al 31 de julio, como prefieras. Los entrenamientos tendrán lugar en las modernas instalaciones del Centro Deportivo Wanda Alcalá de Henares, sede de la Academia del Atlético de Madrid. Y el alojamiento será en habitaciones individuales con baño privado en el Colegio Mayor Aquinas, en la Ciudad Universitaria de Madrid. Ven a aprender inglés con el campeón de liga, el Atlético de Madrid, y el campeón del inglés, Baugan. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate. Inglés y fútbol con Baugan y el Atleti.
You're listening. Estás escuchando Vaughn Radio. Lo que escuchas, Vaughn Radio.
Ya está aquí el Beat for Teens. El Beat for Teens es un programa de inmersión intensiva de domingo a viernes para jóvenes entre 15 y 18 años, en grupos de 6 alumnos como máximo. Mejorarán su agilidad oral y comprensión auditiva en 6 intensos días con el método Baugan. El programa tendrá lugar en un colegio mayor e incluye alojamiento en habitación individual con baño privado, pensión completa, material didáctico de Baugan y, por supuesto, nuestro equipo de profesores de Baugan. Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91-133-5833 o entra en grupobaugan.com. Beat for Teens, de Baugan.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura 3 meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughn. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughn teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at grupobaugan.com.
Estás escuchando Baugan Radio.
Si tienes hijos entre 4 y 14 años y vives en Madrid, esto te interesa. Este año vuelven los Urban Camps. En los Urban Camps, tus hijos hablarán inglés durante todo el día, sin dar una sola hora de aburridas clases. Aprenderán con juegos y talleres diseñados por nuestro equipo de profesores Vaughan. Cada día con un tema distinto. Crazy Science, un viaje espacial, artes escénicas. Y mientras ellos aprenden inglés divirtiéndose, vosotros, papás y mamás, podréis seguir tranquilamente con vuestras obligaciones en esa semana sin cole. Horario de 9 de la mañana a 5 de la tarde con posibilidad de ampliación. Comenzamos la última semana de junio y podrás reservar las semanas que necesites hasta final de julio. Los Urban Camps tendrán lugar en diferentes colegios de la Comunidad de Madrid. Así podrás escoger el que mejor te venga. ¿A qué esperas? Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate de todas las opciones que te ofrecemos. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Los Urban Camps de Vaughan. Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Welcome back. Okay, we're back for our second half hour. Yes. Of today's Tuesday edition of Richard Vaughan Live. Tuesday, the cruelest day of the week, but we are slowly making this day a fun, productive, and stimulating day. So let's get going. Do you naturally trust every person you meet? Yes, I do. Unfortunately, yes. Are resourceful people highly regarded in business organizations? Good question. In the U.S., yes. Here in Spain, not always. But we'll come back to that. Is geography boring? No, it's not. It's fascinating. Did most people in the 19th century have running water? No, they didn't. Do you feel like continuing with these questions? I'd rather not. Yes, I do. Has anybody ever made fun of you? Yes, they have. Fíjate, la pregunta es anybody, y yo contesto con they. Para evitar, yes, he or she has. Yes, somebody has. The correct answer is yes, they have. Did your parents do a good job of raising you? Yes, they did. Are some people more photogenic than others? Yes, they are. Are there more than 10 colors in a rainbow? No, there aren't. Can you name all the countries that make up the European Union? I think so. Yes, I can. All right, go back to number one. Do you naturally trust every person you meet? Yes, I do. I grant trust initially. I believe that a person is good and trustworthy when I meet the person. If that person later proves that he or she is not, if they prove they're not, if they prove they're not, well then sometimes I suffer, sometimes I have problems, sometimes I don't. But I'm not a distrustful person or distrusting. Desconfiado. Mistrustful, distrustful? I really don't know the official way to say that. Desconfiado, distrusting, distrustful. Mistrustful, distrustful, untrusting, suspicious. I would say distrustful or distrusting. Desconfiado. When I meet people, I always give them the benefit of the doubt. Well, I have no doubt. The doubt comes later. And so I have a warm heart, and I consider if I meet somebody who's holding a knife or a gun, well, no. But under normal circumstances, I naturally trust every person I meet. Then, later, as time goes by, that person proves himself or herself to be trustworthy or not. But I always consider people I meet as trustworthy. I give them that benefit. Is that good or bad? It's good. Because to be distrustful is it's a bad approach to life and to people. Of course, maybe you will suffer fewer disappointments or fewer deceptions. Could aquí uso decepción, deception and disappointment. Disappointment, amigo falso, lo de deception. Disappointment is desengaño. Bueno, disappointment is decepción. Que te ha defraudado, te ha decepcionado. Si es amoroso, pues un desengaño. It's a disappointment. However, deception is engaño. Deception is strong and very negative. Deception. Deception in Spanish, you say engaño. Engaño. Mala fe. Ser trampa. Jugar sucio. That's deception. Escrito decepción. Por eso cuando vine a España, I remember one of the first, not the first, but the second serious relationship I had. She said, no me decepciones. And I said, ¿cómo? I was understanding, don't deceive me from deception. It's como, no me engañes. I said, no, I'm not going. But she was saying, no me decepciones, don't disappoint. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. So, if you grant trust to people, everybody you meet, a few of them will let you down. You will be disappointed or deceived. You will suffer disappointment, sometimes even deception. Sufrirás decepción y a veces engaño. Malas prácticas. You will. But the opposite is worse. Of course, you grant trust, but you keep your eyes open, but you can't avoid it. In a professional, in a career of 40 years or 45 years, some people are going to take advantage of you. Some people are going to deceive you, and you will suffer deception and disappointment. But if you don't grant trust, it's not a fun way or a happy way to live, in my opinion. So yes, I naturally trust every person I meet. Then, later you know if that person was trustworthy or not. If that person was worthy of your trust or not. Digno de tu confianza. Digno de confianza is trustworthy. Ahora, digno de tu confianza is worthy. Worth is el valor. To be worth is valer. ¿Cuánto vale? How much is it worth? ¿Vale la pena? Is it worth it? Con TH suave. Ahora, si añades Y, se cambia. La pronunciación worthy. TH vibrada. Like the basketball player James Worthy. If you're familiar with the history of the NBA, there was a very good player, and in college as well. James Worthy. Yes, sir. De Carolina del Norte. Exjugador de baloncesto estadounidense que disputó 12 temporadas con los Lakers. He played with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He played with a little bit with Magic Johnson as well, with Magic Johnson. James Worthy. He was on the team. For example, if you say Lakers, let's see, 1983 team, roster, or team, and you have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Bob McAdoo, James Worthy. All right. Jamel Wilkes. Yes, it's a good team, eh? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was already quite old, but he was still very good. James Worthy. Worthy. Now, trustworthy is digno de confianza. Praiseworthy is digno de elogio. Noteworthy note como nota, note. Noteworthy es digno de tomar en cuenta. Noteworthy, o digno de notar, literalmente, de percibir o de darte cuenta. Noteworthy. So, do you naturally trust every person you meet? Yes, I do. But as time progresses, you see, you realize if that person deserves your trust or doesn't. You find out if that person is worthy of your trust or not. To know if the person is trustworthy. Are resourceful people highly regarded in business organizations? I love this question. Are resourceful people highly regarded in business organizations? Resourceful means gente con recursos. Gente ingeniosa, que se las ingenia para hacer bien las cosas. Muy habilidosa. Resourceful. It's a beautiful word. It comes from the word resources. Resources son recursos. Natural resources, recursos naturales. Human resources, recursos humanos. The word resourceful. Resourceful, con F-U-L simple al final. Resourceful. I spelled it wrong. No, I didn't. ¿Por qué no me sale? Just a second. Resourceful. I can't find it. I must be spelling aquí. Habilidoso, capaz, ingenioso, industrioso. Okay. Resourceful. Resourceful. Beautiful word in English. Able to deal with difficulties. All right. Let's say capacitado para, o capaz de, capacitado para tratar las dificultades. How do you say? Capear las dificultades. Able to deal skillfully and promptly with new situations, difficulties, etc. Yes. Capacitado, capaz y capacitado. Yes. In Spanish, they say habilidoso, capaz, ingenioso. Pues todo. All of that. A resourceful person. I need resourceful people. Como agua de mayo. Now, I have resourceful people in my organization, but I need more. I need every person to be very resourceful. Are resourceful people highly regarded? Now, to regard means considerar. I regard that person as very important. I regard him as very valuable. Valuable. So highly regarded means tener un alto concepto. Alta opinión. So, are resourceful people highly, altamente considerado, highly regarded in business organizations? Yes. In the United States, yes. In Spain, not always. In some business organizations in Spain, I have seen that a lot of managers don't want very resourceful people. They want people who say yes and follow them. I've seen that quite a bit here. I've seen a lot of envy from superiors toward resourceful subordinates. Envy or fear that resourceful person can move up in the organization and make the boss look less capable. I've seen that a lot here. I've seen the organizations a lot. Between 1974 in 1998, maybe, for about 25 years, I spent most of my time in companies teaching and doing promotional work, haciendo pasillos, you say in Spanish. And I spent a lot of time with people in organizations. And when you teach people English, especially private class, they open up. Because when you teach them English, they feel vulnerable. Even very strong people who are very powerful in the organization, the big boss, and everybody fears the big boss. In the classes with me, they were not big bosses and powerful. First of all, because I'm you can't be that way with me. Second of all, the class is in English, and that big, powerful person is not a good, is having problems with the irregular verbs. It's like teaching, imagine Vladimir Putin, who seems like a powerful person. He wants to learn how to ice skate, patinar sobre hielo, and you are the teacher. Well, he's in your hands. If you want to teach Vladimir Putin how to ice skate, well, he will feel like an idiot trying to keep his balance on the ice. And so what, all these years, 25 years working entre bastidores, behind the scenes, in indirectly understanding organizations through the English classes, my conclusions are pretty close to true. And resourceful people are not always highly regarded. In some, many organizations, yes, but in some, no. They are not. I've seen resourceful people leave. And I'm still seeing it today. Seeing resourceful people, very resourceful people, change, go to a different company, leave the company, because they were not highly regarded, and they were not given the freedom to develop their skills and to help the organization, because there was animosity, envy, or fear. Because when a person very, very capable, wow, esta persona tiene, es genial, consigue todo. And so, I mean, I'll kiss that person's feet. I need people like that always. All right, is geography boring? No, it's not. For most people, geography is boring because it wasn't taught in secondary school in an interesting way. But it's very interesting. It's fascinating, especially if you start trying to understand geography from the political and military point of view, what you call geostrategia, geostrategy. And it's fascinating. I like geography. And there are a lot of things. I can spend hours looking at a map. Just hours. People say, how do you know so much about Spain? You know, on television the other day, I was talking about the distance from Argamasilla de Alba to El Toboso. On television the other day, I was saying, you see, the people, Argamasilla de Alba is a town in La Mancha. Now, they claim, many people who live there claim that Don Quixote was from there. When Cervantes says, en un lugar de la Mancha de cuyo nombre no quiero acordarme, ese lugar es Argamasilla. According to the people in Argamasilla, that's Argamasilla. And I don't agree. Why not? Well, the only evidence for me is that Dulcinea is de El Toboso. Now, if she lives in El Toboso or around it, El Toboso is an hour away by car. It's 96 or 100 kilometers from Argamasilla. So Alonso Quijano, or Don Quixote, to be familiar with Dulcinea, a woman living 100 kilometers away, is very unlikely. So I think that maybe this Lugar de la Mancha, whom Cervantes didn't want, the name of which he didn't want to, he didn't bother to reveal to us. I have a feeling it's Mota de Cuervo, Quintanar de Leorden, Campo de Criptana, maybe Alcázar San Juan, something that's fairly close to El Toboso. You see. Now, it could be that Dulcinea del Toboso was living in Argamasilla, but she had been born in El Toboso, and they called her del Toboso. I don't know. That's not, it's not clear in the book. But that's what I was talking about the other day. And one person wrote a letter. How do you know so much about Spanish geography? an email. And said, well, it's just because I like geography. I like geography. And there are a lot of little funny things about geography that are enjoyable. You see. But in any case, so, is geography boring? For most people, yes. However, I've said this many times. If you're ignorant in geography, try to remedy that. A certain superficial knowledge of physical geography is very recommendable. Very recommendable. I have met many people who are intelligent, but ignorant in geography. And if you accidentally reveal ignorance in geography, you seem dumb. And so it's for example, you many people, what's the capital of, you know, Brazil? And they don't know. I mean, where is the Gulf of Mexico? And they can't find it on a map, the Gulf of Mexico. Or where's the Persian Gulf? The Gulf of Persia, and they can't find it. Where is Iran? And they can't find it on a map. What's the capital of Iran? And they don't remember Tehran. They don't remember. These just very simple questions of geography makes the person look bad. And many times these people are very intelligent. It's simply that they have never been interested. They don't bother to know, have superficial knowledge. Deep knowledge is not necessary, but superficial knowledge of geography is very recommendable if you don't want to accidentally make a bad impression, which is not a correct impression. So a person who is ignorant in geography is in danger of making a bad impression. I remember one person, I said, show Manolo where New York is on the map. And he didn't know where New York was. He could not find New York City on the map of the world. He didn't know. He looked in the United States, but he was looking around and he couldn't see it. He was looking at the California area. He had no idea where it was. But that's a common everywhere. That's not in Spain. I mean, everywhere. In the United States, people are very ignorant in geography. I mean, if you ask half of the people, if you take a map of the world with the countries, but not the names, without the names, but the map with the outlines of the countries, and you go to the United States, and you ask, indicate Spain, please, probably 50% of the people will not be able to do it. At least 25% of them will look in Latin America, looking for Spain. Maybe 50% of people will locate it with no problem. Now, here in Spain, if we do the same, a map of the world, and we say, locate Syria for me, please. Syria. Maybe the same 50% can locate Syria on the world map, but another 50% cannot. You see, or you say, locate Lithuania. Good luck. Probably 20% can locate Lithuania. And so that's what we call geographical ignorance. And it's something that you should try to, if you suffer geographical ignorance, you should try to remedy that. It's simply looking at maps and trying to remember and memorize where they are in the capitals. That's basically it. You know, the capital of Colombia, of course, is Bogota. Everybody knows that. The capital is the capital of Ecuador, Quito or Guayaquil. And what's the capital of the United States? Well, Washington. All right. What's the capital of Greece? Athens. And just to know these things, what's the capital of Morocco? Casablanca? No. Marrakesh? No. Rabat. It's very simple things. And then people will not catch you in off guard and things. So yes, geography is boring for most people, but it's fun for me. By the way, did most people in the 19th century have running water? No, they didn't. Hardly anybody. Casi nadie. Hardly anyone in the 19th century had running water. Not even Jules Verne, Julio Verne, he didn't have running water. So But he was a futuristic novelist. If he came today in a time machine, he would be impressed. He would need tranquilizers to assimilate not only running water, but electric lights, television, movies, airplanes, spacecraft, everything, internet, but just incredible. The progress we have made in the past 150 years, since the Industrial Revolution up to today, has just been incredible, but especially with the development of electricity in the late 19th century and the internal combustion engine, the use of oil for energy, oil and natural gas for energy, and for the production of electricity as well, because you need energy to produce electricity. And so Jules Verne saw that at the end of his life, at the very end of his life, because I think he died around 1905. Julio Verne, Jules Verne, around 1905. Let me see. Yes, he was born in 1828, and he died in 1905. All right. Jules Verne. Yes, sir. Julio Verne, you say here. I have to take another break. I'll be right back.
¿Recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTV a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTV a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Vaughan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Vaughan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening y speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que, pues, que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home just wondering what to do? Well, why don't you sign up for Vaughan's English class via video conference? That's right. Now you can have the best teachers in the comfort of your own home. You'll get personalized attention because there's a maximum of only 6 students per class. Give us a call, 91-133-5831. Learn English with Vaughan via video conference classes. Sign up now.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Vaughan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Inglés y fútbol. Con Vaughan y el Atleti.
A Vaughan English class is not the same as other English classes. In a Vaughan English class, time is optimized to the max. Every minute counts for your company. Every minute counts for your English. It's all a question of mathematics. The more you practice key structures of the language in every class, the more confident you will be when you use them in real life. And the more effective you will be as a communicator in English. And in this global world of ours, communicating effectively is absolutely key to success. By means of face-to-face classes or video conference classes, Vaughan will make all the difference for your English. And you will make all the difference for your company.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid en el 911335831.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan. Sí, ya está abierta. Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te pueda ayudar.